Chapter 3. Snakebite. Blood beads where buzzing metal pinches my scalp. Dirty, blonde hair puddles into the concrete as the grey finishes scalping me with an electric razor. His compatriots call him Danto. He rolls my head around to make sure he's got it all before clapping me hard on the top of it.
"How about a bath, Dominus?" he asks. "Grimish likes her prisoners to smell nice and civil, hear?"
He taps the muzzle they strapped to my face after I try to bite one of them. They moved me with an electric collar around my neck, arms bound still behind my back. A squad of 12 hardcore lurchers dragging me through the halls like a bag of trash. Another grey jerks me from my chair by my collar as Danto goes to pull a power hose from the wall. They're more than a head shorter than I am, but compact and rugged. The lives they live are hard, chasing outriders in the belt, stalking syndicate killers through the depths of Luna, hunting sons of Ares in the mines. I hate them touching me. All the sights and sounds they make, it's too much, too gruff, too hard. Everything they do hurts, jerking me around, slapping me casually. I try my best to keep the tears away, but I don't know how to compartmentalize it all. The line of 12 soldiers crowds together, watching me as Danto aims the hose. They've got 3 obsidian men with them. Most lurcher squads do. The water hits me like a horse kick in the chest, tearing skin. I spin on the concrete floor, sliding across the room till I'm pinned in the corner. My skull slams against the wall. Stars swarm my sight. I swallow water, choking, hunching to protect my face because my hands are still pinned behind my back. When they've finished, I'm still gasping and coughing around the muzzle, trying to suck in air. They uncuff me and slip my arms and legs into a black prisoner's jumpsuit before binding me again. There's a hood, too, that they'll soon jerk over my head to rob me of what little humanity I have left. I'm thrown back into the chair. They click my restraints into the chair's receptacle, so I'm locked down. Everything's redundant. Every move watched. They guard me like what I was, not what I am. I squint at them, vision bleary and nearsighted. Water drips from my eyelashes. I try to sniff, but my nose is clogged tight with congealed blood from nostril to nasal cavity. They broke it when they put the muzzle on. We're in a processing room for the Board of Quality Control, which oversees the administrative functions of the prison beneath the Jackal's Fortress. The building has the concrete box shape of every government facility. Poisonous lighting makes everyone here look like a walking corpse with pores the size of meteor craters. Aside from the greys, the obsidian, and a single yellow doctor, there's a chair, an examination table, and a hose. But the fluid stains around the floor's metal drain, and the nail scratches on the metal chair are the face and soul of this room. The ending of lives begins here. Cassius would never come to this hole. Few Gulls would ever need or want to unless they made the wrong enemies. It's the inside of the clock, where the gears whir and grind. How could anyone be brave in a place so inhuman as this?
"Crazy, ain't it?"
Danto asks those behind him. He looks back at me.
"All my life, never seen something so slagging odd."
"Carver must have put 100 kilos on him," says another.
"More. Ever seen him in his armour? He was a damned monster."
Danto flicks my muzzle with a tattooed finger.
"Bet it hurt being born twice. Gotta respect that. Pain's the universal language. Ain't it, Ruster?"
When I don't respond, he leans forward and stomps on my bare foot with his steel-heeled boot. The big toenail splits. Pain and blood rupture from the exposed nail bed. My head lolls sideways as I gasp,
ain't it?"
he asks again. Tears leak from my eyes, not from the pain, but from the casualness of his cruelty. It makes me feel so small. Why does it take so little for him to hurt me so much? It almost makes me miss the box.
"He's only a baboon in a suit," another says. "Leave off him. He don't know any better."
"Don't know any better?"
Danto asks.
"Bullshit. He liked the fit of master's clothes, like lording over us."
Danto crouches so he's looking into my eyes. I try to look away, frightened he'll hurt me again. But he seizes my head and pulls open my eyelids with his thumb so we're eye to eye.
"Two of my sisters died in that reign of yours, Ruster. Lost a lot of friends, you hear?"
He hits the side of my head with something metal. I see spots. Feel more blood leak from me. Behind him, their centurion checks his datapad.
"You'd want the same for my kids, wouldn't you?"
Danto searches my eyes for an answer.
"I have none he'd accept."
Like the rest, Danto's a veteran legionnaire, rough as a rusted sewer grate. Tech festoons his black combat gear, where scuffed purple dragons coil in faint filigree. Optic implants in his eyes for thermal vision and the reading of battle maps. Under his skin, he'll have more embedded tech to help him hunt golds and obsidians. The tattoo of an XIII clutched by a moving sea dragon stains all their necks, little heaps of ash at the base of the numeral. These are members of Legio 13 Dracones, the favoured Praetorian legion of the Ash Lord, and now his daughter, Azure. Civilians would just call them dragoons. Mustang hated the fanatics. It's a whole independent army of 30,000 chosen by Azure to be the hand of the sovereign away from Luna. They hate me. They hate low colours with a marrow-deep racism even goals can't match.
"Go for the ears, Danto, if you want to make him yelp,"
one of the greys suggests. The woman stands at the door, nutcracker jaw bobbing up and down as she gnaws on a bubblegum. Her ashen hair is shaved into a short mohawk, voice drawling in some earthborn dialect. She leans against the metal beside a yawning male grey with a delicate nose, more like a pink's than a soldier's.
"You hit them with a cupped hand. You can pop the eardrum with the pressure."
"Thanks, Holly."
"Here to help."
Danto cups his hand.
"Like this."
He hits my head.
"A little more curve to it."
The centurion snaps his fingers.
"Danto, Grimace wants him in one piece. Back up and let the doc take a look."
I breathe a sigh of relief at the reprieve. The fat yellow doctor ambles forward to inspect me with beady ochre eyes. The pale lights above make the bald patch on his head shine like a pale waxed apple. He runs his bioscope over my chest, watching the visual through little digital implants in his eyes.
"Well, doc?"
the centurion asks.
"Remarkable,"
the yellow whispers after a moment.
"Bone density and organs are quite healthy, despite the low-caloric diet. Muscles have atrophied, as we've observed in laboratory settings, but not as poorly as natural aureate tissue."
"You're saying he's better than gold?"
the centurion asks.
"I did not say that,"
the doctor snaps.
"Relax, there's no cameras, Doc. This is a processing room. What's the verdict?"
"It can travel."
"It?"
I manage in a low, unearthly growl from behind my muzzle. The doctor recoils, surprised I can speak.
"And long-term sedation? Got 3 weeks to Luna at this orbit."
"That will be fine."
The doctor gives me a frightened look.
"But I would up the dose by 10 milligrams per day, Captain, just to be safe. It has an abnormally strong circulatory system."
"Right."
The captain nods to the female grey.
You're up, Holly. Put him to bed. Then let's get the cart and roll out. You're square, Doc. Head back to your safe little espresso and silk world now. We'll take care of... Pop!
The front half of the Centurion's forehead comes off. Something metal hits the wall. I stare at the Centurion, mind not processing why his face is gone.
Pop, 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 pop.
Like knuckle joints. Red mist geysers into the air from the heads of the nearest dragoons, spraying my face. I duck my head away. Behind them, the nutcracker-jawed woman walks casually through their ranks, shooting them point-blank in the backs of their heads. The rest pull their rifles up, scrambling, unable to even utter curses before a second grey double-taps five of them from his place at the door with an old-fashioned gunpowder slug shooter. Silencer on the barrel so it's cool and quiet. Obsidians are the first to hit the floor, leaking red.
Clear,
the woman says.
Plus two,
the man replies. He shoots the yellow doctor as he crawls to the door trying to escape, then puts a boot on Danto's chest. The grey stares up at him, bleeding from under the jaw.
Trig!
Ares sends his regards, motherfucker.
The grey shoots Danto just under the brim of his tactical helmet, between the eyes, and spins the slug shooter in his hand, blowing smoke from the end, before sheathing it in a leg holster.
Clear!
My lips work against my muscle, struggling to form a coherent thought.
Who... are you?
The grey woman nudges a body out of her way.
Name's Holiday T. Nakamura. That's Trig, my baby brother.
She raises a scar-notched eyebrow. Her wide face is blasted by freckles. Nose smashed flat. Eyes dark grey and narrow.
Question is, who are you?
Who am I?
I mumble.
We came for the Reaper. But if that's you, I think we should get our money back.
She winks suddenly.
I'm joking, sir.
Holiday, cut it.
Trig pushes her aside protectively.
Can't you see he's shell-shocked?
Trig approaches carefully, hands out, voice soothing.
You're prime, sir. We're here to rescue you.
His words are thicker, less polished than Holiday's. I flinch as he takes another step, searches hands for a weapon. He's going to hurt me.
Just gonna unlock you, that's all.
You want that, yeah?
It's a lie. A jackal trick. He's got the 13 tattoo. These are Praetorians, not sons.
Liars.
Killers.
I won't unlock you if you don't want me to.
No.
No, he killed the guards.
He's here to help. He has to be here to help.
I give Trig a wary nod and he slips behind me. I don't trust him. I half expect a needle, a twist. But all I feel is release as my risk is rewarded. The cuffs unlock. My shoulder joints crack and, moaning, I pull my hands in front of my body for the first time in 9 months. The pain causes them to shake. The nails have grown long and vile. But these hands are mine again. I charge to my feet to escape and collapse to the floor.
Whoa, whoa,
Holiday says, hefting me back into the chair.
Easy there, hero. You've got mad muscle atrophy. Gonna need an oil change.
Trig comes back around to stand in front of me, smiling lopsided, face open and boyish. Not nearly as intimidating as his sister, despite the two gold teardrop tattoos that leak from his right eye.
He has the look of a loyal hound.
Gently, he removes the muzzle from my face, then remembers something with a start.
I've got something for you, sir.
Not now, Trig.
Holiday eyes the door.
Ain't got the seconds.
He needs it,
Trig says under his breath, but waits till Holiday gives him a nod before he pulls a leather bundle from his tortoise pack. He extends it to me.
It's yours, sir. Take it.
He senses my apprehension.
Hey, I didn't lie about unlocking you, did I?
No. I put my hands out, and he sets the leather bundle in them. Fingers trembling, I pull back the string holding the bundle together and feel the power before I even see the deadly shimmer. My hands almost drop the bundle, as frightened of it as my eyes were of the light. It is my razor. The one given to me by Mustang. The one I've lost twice now. Once to Karnas, then again at my triumph to the Jackal. It is white and smooth as a child's first tooth. My hand slides over the cold metal and its salt-stained calf-leather grip. Touch wakening melancholy memories of strength long faded and warmth long forgotten. The smell of hazelnut drifts back to me, transporting me to Lorne's practice rooms, where he would teach me as his favorite granddaughter learned to bake in the adjacent kitchen. The razor slithers through the air, so beautiful, so deceitful in its promise of power. The blade would tell me I'm a god, as it has told generations of men who came before me. But I now know the lie in that, the terrible price it's made men pay for pride. It scares me to hold it again. And it rasps like a pit viper's mating call as it forms into a curved sling blade. It was blank and smooth when last I saw it, but it ripples now with images etched into the white metal. I tilt the blade so I can better see the form etched just above the hilt. I stare dumbly. Io looks back at me. An image of her, etched into the metal. The artist caught her not on the scaffold, not in the moment that will forever define her to others, but intimately, as the girl I loved. She's crouched, hair messy about her shoulders, picking a hymanthus from the ground, looking up, just about to smile. And above Io is my father, kissing my mother at the door of our home. And toward the tip of the blade, Liana, Lauren, and I chasing Kieran down a tunnel, wearing Oktobernacht masks. It is my childhood. Whoever made this art knows me. The Gulls carve their deeds into their swords, the grand, violent shit they've done. But Ares thought you'd prefer to see the people you love. Holiday says quietly from behind Trig. She glances back to the door. Ares is dead. I search their faces, seeing the deceit there, seeing the wickedness in their eyes. The Jackal sent you. It's a trick, a trap, to lead you to the sun's base. My hand tightens around the razor's grip. To use me? You're lying. Holiday steps back from me, wary of the blade in my hand. But Trig is ripped apart by the accusation. Lying? To you? We'd die for you, sir. We'd have died for Persephone. Io. He struggles to find the words, and I get a sense he's used to letting his sister do the talking. There's an army waiting for you outside these walls. Does that register? An army waiting for its soul to come back to it. He leans forward, imploringly, as Holiday looks back to the door. We're from South Pacifica, the ass end of Earth. I thought I'd die there guarding grain silos. But I'm here, on Mars, and our only job is to get you home. I've met better liars than you, I sneer. Screw this. Holiday reaches for her datapad. Trig tries to stop her. Ares said it was only for emergencies. If they hacked the signal. Look at him. This is an emergency. Holiday strips her datapad and tosses it to me. A call is going through to another device, blinking blue on the display, waiting for the other side to answer. As I turn it in my hand, a hologram of a spiked, sunburst helmet suddenly blossoms into the air, small as my clenched fist. Red eyes glow out balefully from the helmet. Fitchner? Guess again, shithead, the voice warbles. It can't be. Sevro? I almost whimper the word. Oi, boyo,
You look like you slithered out of a skeleton's rickety cooch.
You're alive,
I say, as the holographic helmet slithers away to reveal my hatchet-faced friend. He smiles with those hacksaw teeth, image flickering. Ain't no pixie in the world that can kill me, he cackles. Now it's time you come home, Reap. But I can't come to you. You gotta come to me. You register?
How?
I wipe the tears from my eyes. Trust my sons. Can you do that? I look at the brother and sister and nod. The Jackal. He has my family. That cannibalistic bitch ain't got shit. I got your family. Grab them from Lycos after you got snagged. Your mother's waiting to see you. I start crying again. The relief too much to bear. But you gotta sack up, boyo, and you gotta move. He looks sideways at someone. Give me back to Holiday. I do. Make it clean if you can. Escalate if you can't. Register?
Register. Break the chains. Break the chains.
The Greys echo as his image flickers out. Look past our colour, Holiday says to me. She reaches a tattooed hand down. I stare at the grey sigils etched into her flesh, then look up to search her freckled, bluff face. One of her eyes is bionic, and does not blink like the other. Io's words sound so different from her mouth, yet I think it's the moment my soul comes back to me. Not my mind. I still feel the cracks in it, the slithering, doubting darkness. But my hope. I clutch her smaller hand desperately.
Break the chains,
I echo hoarsely.
You'll have to carry me.
I look at my worthless legs.
Can't stand.
That's why we brought you a little cocktail. Holiday pulls up a syringe.
What is it?
I ask.
Trig just laughs. Your oil change. Seriously, friend, you really don't want to know.
He grins.
Shit will animate a corpse. Give it to me,
I say, holding out my wrist.
It's gonna hurt,
Trig warns.
He's a big boy.
Holiday comes closer.
Sir,
Trig hands me one of his gloves.
Between your teeth.
A little less confident, I bite down on the salt-stained leather and nod to Holiday. She lunges past my wrist to jab the syringe straight into my heart. Metal punctures meat as the payload releases.
Holy shit!
I try to scream, but it comes out as a gurgle. Fire cavorts through my veins, my heart a piston. I look down, expecting to see it galloping out of my bloody damn chest. I feel every muscle, every cell of my body exploding, pulsing with kinetic energy. I dry heave. I fall, clawing at my chest, panting, spitting bile, punching the floor. The Greys scramble back from my twisting body. I strike out at the chair, half ripping it from its bolted place in the floor. I let out a stream of curses that had made several blush. Then I tremble and look up at them.
What was that?
Holiday tries not to laugh. Mama calls it snake bite. Only gonna last 30 minutes with your metabolism.
Your mama made that?
Trig shrugs.
We're from Earth.